Good morning and welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the seventh Sunday of Easter. We are still in the season celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we will not be in the season much longer, as next Sunday we celebrate the day of Pentecost. So we hope that you'll join us at that time. So thank you for coming and joining us in this worship. And we appreciate your comments and your direction in helping us to put these virtual services on. There's some announcements that we want to make. First of all, I just wanted to say that Pastor Matt, just before his sermon, will give you some insight into Daniel's recovery. He's doing super well, but I would like him to explain, and so we'll let him do that at the sermon time. At this point, I'm going to ask Dale Schutte to come, who has an announcement from the Stewardship Committee. So, Dale?
Thank you, Pastor Vern, and good morning to everyone. The Stewardship Committee did a congregational mailing several weeks ago consisting of several items. A congregational letter explaining some of our opportunities, the paper time and talent survey, and the church annual pledge sheets. We'd like to thank everyone that has reviewed these and returned them already to the church. If you haven't had time to do so, we would ask that you take a few minutes to review these documents so that you can decide what time and talents and treasures that you could share with the church. Excuse me. The letter briefly goes over some of the opportunities we have here at Blessed Savior. There's a summation of the automatic giving opportunities that can be set up to be charged to your credit card or to your bank account. These are summarized in the letter, and they can also be found on the church website, which has a link to go to both these programs. So that is available. There's also the annual church pledge sheet. This is strictly between you and God. There are two copies, one to be retained by yourself and one to be returned to the church. There is a small, you will find a small envelope inside of the larger envelope that has just your name on it, and the pledge sheet is placed into there. When these are returned, they will not be opened by anyone. They will be placed in the gold pledge box, which stays on the altar throughout the year and will be returned to you the following year. There's also a time and talent survey, which we really ask that you give some attention to. As we all know, all the church committees are in need of additional help, and these are some of the more outstanding recurring needs that we have. And make sure that everybody understands that you don't have to join a committee to participate. You can just sign up to participate in some of the individual functions like trivia night and so forth. These also can also be found on the church website, so you don't have to return the paper version. You can do it on the website or whichever works best for you. So in closing, we appreciate all that you can do for the church to further God's kingdom on earth, and we ask that you prayerfully consider your time and talents. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dale. So for another announcement is our COVID-19. Well, it's my understanding that President Trump has opened all churches. We're going to proceed with some caution here. Things may be changing as they do every single day. So please keep in mind to watch, and we'll try to keep posted on our website, you know, what we're doing and when the church will actually open for services. This is Memorial Day weekend, and we just want you to remember those who gave their all. We have a little presentation at the end of the service, and we hope that you'll stick around for the whole thing. We are going to be celebrating Holy Communion, and you should have received an email. If you haven't or you're not able to get online, then please call the church office, and we will be scheduling appointments on Sunday from 12 to 3, and then on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 6 to 8 in the evening. We just ask people to sign up so we know who's coming and how many to prepare for. Thank you. And then finally, our graduates, we want to wish a congratulations to our high school graduates, Haley Bartimus, Savannah Boggs, Leah Geis, Ashton Gorney, and Semariah Longhorn. Congratulations to you. And we're going to turn to a little presentation that they prepared for you at this time.
It's only for a moment you were mine to hold. The plans that heaven has for you will all too soon unfold. So many different prayers I'll pray for all that you might do. But most of all I want to know you're walking in the truth. And if I never told you, I want you to know that as I watch you grow, I pray that God would fill your heart with dreams, and that faith gives you the courage to dare. You find your wings. May passion be the wind that leads you through your days, and may conviction keep you strong, guide you on your way. May there be many moments that make your life so.
Let us now begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our opening sentences are from Psalm 68. God shall arise. His enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him.
As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God.
But the righteous will be glad. They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy.
Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exult before him.
Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation.
God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land.
O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness,
the earth quaked. The heavens poured down rain before God. the one of Sinai, before God, the one of God of Israel.
Reign in abundance, O God. You shed abroad. You restored your inheritance as it languished.
Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy.
Let us now pause for a moment of silent reflection to examine our lives, our words, and our actions in the light of God's Word. And where there is sin, let us seek God's face for the grace of His forgiveness. Almighty God, we enter your presence, confessing the things we try to conceal from you and the things we try to conceal from others. We confess the heartbreak, worry, and sorrow we have caused that make it difficult for others to forgive us, the times we have made it easy for others to do wrong, the harm we have done that makes it hard for us to forgive ourselves. Lord, have mercy and forgive us through Christ. Amen. Scripture says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
We take a moment now to share the peace of Christ with one another and get ready to raise a hallelujah.
King is alive.
Let us pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above the heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We prepare our hearts for the reading of God's Word. The first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 1. When they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath's day's journey away, and when they had entered, they went up to the upper room, where they were staying, Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was all in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in his ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who had accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place.' And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapters 4 and 5. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for the judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Sing to God. Sing praise to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts.
His name is the Lord. Exult before him. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me. And they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing now the Navy hymn, Eternal Father, Strong to Save.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Before I begin today's sermon, I just want to give you a quick update about my son, Daniel. He is doing extraordinarily well. We have gone to his doctor many times over at Cardinal Glennon, and the wonderful doctors, nurses, cardiologists, and experts there have been wonderful with both Haley and I in helping us through this journey, as well as all of you with your prayers and your gifts. I have some very good news. Thursday, I went to the cardiologist with Daniel, and I told her that he is behaving as any newborn would, fussy at night at some points, hungry as all can be. And I asked if this was normal for patients with hypoplastic left heart syndrome. And she said it wasn't that common of that. In fact, it is very uncommon for a patient to be doing so well right after only a month of having this very hard surgery. So I'm very happy to report, thanks to the wonderful guiding hands of the surgeons, the wonderful help and caregiving of the nurses and doctors, and most importantly, especially the prayers of people here at Blessed Savior and those around the world and in the country that have been praying for my son. Thank you so much. Now, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It's a very interesting Sunday we have here in the church year. It is a Sunday that is following immediately after the ascension of our Lord. When Jesus, after his 40 days on earth were done, after he rose from the dead, when he had given all final instruction to his disciples, and when he did all the wonderful miracles and other signs that John said if he could record them, there would be no library to fill all of the books that would be written. But Jesus came, and now he is going to his Father. In fact, he is gone. The Sunday that follows after, you would think immediately would be Pentecost. But no. Instead, it is going back to a prayer, one that is known as the high priestly prayer in John. This is actually something that has been near and dear to my heart. For it is when God, his Son, prays for us, his disciples. But what exactly does he pray for? And what does it entail? What does it mean? These have been my meditations on this. Jesus prays, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them. And I have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them." Jesus here is praying and thanking God that his disciples know him, that they know his teachings, that they know what it means to be a follower of Christ. But he knows he'll be leaving them soon. "I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." Christ prays this prayer on the very eve of his betrayal in the garden by one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. He prays it right before his ultimate persecution, suffering, and death. And yet, he prays for his disciples. Because what comes next is what I want to talk about today. After Jesus ascended into heaven, his disciples went out. They actually went and they cast lots to see who would be the replacement of Judas. And they chose Matthias, one who was with them from the very beginning. And then they did amazing things. They were given the Holy Spirit on that Pentecost. They began to preach and speak the word of Christ. But we know they suffered greatly. It was strange. Christ prayed for them that the Father would keep them. And yet if you look at the world and what was happening to them, it was anything but that. James, the disciple, Jesus' brother, was actually one that was the very first apostle killed and suffered death. Then there was Peter and John. They were put into prison, beaten and whipped. There were the many Christians who were tormented by Saul, who would later become Paul and be a wonderful advocate for Christ. But he would faithfully suffer, and even unto death himself. What I mean by faithfully suffering is no less than dying in Christ. We've talked a lot about those suffering in this world and in our lessons throughout the year. In fact, even our Lenten series was all in Job, the one who suffered seemingly the most in all creation. There are whole psalms called the Lament Psalms, which are nothing but the people crying out their suffering to God. There is even in Isaiah the suffering servant, which has been revealed in the man, Jesus Christ, who suffered even death on the cross. And this is what it means to faithfully suffer. Is to suffer even death on a cross. This is how it was for the people of Asia Minor, whom Peter wrote to before he himself would be sentenced to death, hanged on a cross but upside down in a Colosseum surrounded by other Christians. But Peter wrote to them in the midst of their sufferings. And he says something very strange. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. I'm astonished by this. This goes against everything that we know about suffering. Literally everything. Peter here is saying that it's a good thing that you are suffering because you are a follower of Christ. It is good that this is happening to you. In fact, because of this, you are blessed. I would never feel blessed about someone coming and hating me because of what I believed. I would never feel blessed if someone said I could not do something just because I was a Christian. I would not feel blessed if I would even be put to death. And yet, this is what Peter is saying, that we should be blessed, feel blessed, for we share in Christ's sufferings. And even goes beyond that. He's even saying that if you're suffering, continue to do good. This definitely goes against what we know as suffering. I know it well. When you suffer, you're sad. More than sad. You're beaten. You're hurt. You feel a pain inside of you that won't go away, and you lash out. It's a very human thing to do. I know because I do it too. Faithful suffering is to do good even in your suffering, to praise God and all of this, but the immediate thing that you don't want to do when you suffer is to thank God for it. I couldn't imagine this. And for the longest time, whenever I felt suffering, I would have the inclination to hurt other people, to go and make them suffer as I have suffered. To go out and yell and proclaim my sufferings to the world, that my sufferings would be heard, that they would be acknowledged, and that they would be changed. This is what the Western culture is with suffering. It is not a good thing, but a thing to be abhorred, a thing that should be cast aside, and a thing that should be at all be almost ashamed of and to fight back against, but never to rejoice in it and to never praise God in it. Who could do that? Who would want to do that? I didn't understand what it truly meant to faithfully suffer until a couple of years ago. It was Palm Sunday of my senior year, my last year at the seminary. I was serving as not only a field worker, but choir director for my field work congregation. We had a missionary there with us, a man from Egypt, who was extraordinarily faithful to Christ. He had such a fire and a zeal for the worship of God, for the proclamation of His word and sacraments, that he was teaching others, other immigrants in the city of St. Louis, the wonderful beauty of Christ. You could see it in his face when he proclaimed that he loved God. But I didn't know what it meant to faithfully suffer until I met him. And it was on that Palm Sunday. We got up, went to church, had a choir rehearsal. I was getting ready, putting on my robe, when he comes up to the pastor and I. That morning, he received word that his brother's church in Egypt was bombed. He didn't know if his brother was alive. Many were dead. They were bombed because they were Christians, Coptic Christians living in Egypt, going to worship on a Sunday. They did nothing wrong. There was no violence, except to them. He did not know if his brother was alive. And yet, he still praised God. He prayed and asked us to pray not only for those Christians who were in their families, but for those who killed them. He asked us to pray for not only his brother's safety, if that was God's will, but to thank God that even if his brother was dead, God would be praised, for he was now a martyr of Christ. In those minutes before Palm Sunday, we would welcome in, where we'd celebrate the welcoming of Jesus to his death, I looked upon him, and I knew that this is what it meant when Peter said, and when Paul said, to pray for those who persecute you, pray for those who hate you and revile you, and as Jesus said as well. In this, we see what it means to faithfully suffer. We remember the words of Peter, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." God knows our suffering, for he felt it. He asks us not to rage, not to fight, but to trust him, to be relying on him, to cast our anxieties on him, to pray to him. We are to lift up one another, even when we suffer, as Christ lifted up those around him. As even Peter and John did, when they suffered in prison, chained to the walls, they themselves sang praises to God. And they won many for Christ. For even Paul, when he was brought before the ruling governors and the ruling authority before he would be shipped off to his death, he knew that he would be put in chains, brought before the governors and the leaders, and yet he would suffer, so the glory of God might be revealed. And he even says to the governor on the right before his voyage to Rome that, yes, even as I am standing here before you in chains, I would wish for you to be a Christian, except not in the chains part. In this, we see how it is to faithfully suffer, to know that the world will rage against us, that it will not be kind to us. Peter even says this to the Christians, that the devil is out there roaring like a lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. But to this we have Christ, who is there with us, who is there defending us, who even though he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, still said to his disciples, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And in every age and in every time he has been there, consoling his disciples, giving them words of comfort, giving them brothers and sisters in Christ, and urging and pleading with them to turn all of their fears and anxieties on him, and even pray for those who persecute them. The brother was found alive the very next day. The man actually called the pastor and I up and explained this wonderful news. And he still said to pray for his brother. And he said his brother had a prayer request for us, that he would pray for Egypt, its government, for those who attacked them, and for all Christians, so that they might be a powerful witness in their peace, in their meetings, and in their lives to God. We know the promises of God are good and right. We know they were made right when Christ was raised from the dead. And just as Christ was raised from the dead, we know that he will come again. For he said as he was ascended into heaven that he will come in the same manner. We have this wonderful gift of faith that sustains us even as we suffer in this world. Yes, even faithful suffering, we can sing praises to God, even at the most difficult times, to proclaim Christ even in the face of death, and to continue to pray and give thanks to those who hate us and who rule over us, and who maybe even make our lives difficult. We can do all of this through the power of the Holy Spirit, whom God has sent to us to be our guide and comfort. In all things we remember these words. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And amen. We continue our worship with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
In Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, we give thanks for your mercy, especially for the salvation you have prepared for the whole world through the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Enable us to walk by faith, enduring all trials encountered because of that faith, as we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of the church, we pray that as you rule and govern your redeemed people throughout the world, you would grant your blessing to all you have called to preach and teach your holy word. Preserve your people by the proclamation of the pure doctrine of your saving word, and empower all people to bear witness to your saving truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, grant health, wisdom, and protection to all who are in authority of making, administering, and judging our laws, in order that they rule according to your goodwill and pleasure. In this day when lives are being held captive by a virus, we pray for relief from its devastating grasp on people's health and livelihood. Come to the aid of those who do medical research so that treatments and cures may arrest this contagious disease. And having experienced freedom from it, may all people earnestly desire and seek the glorious freedom from sin's effects and know the healing power of your forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we humbly ask for your divine comfort to all who are in trouble, want, sickness, peril of death, or any other adversity. There are so many on our prayer list who need help from above, and many you have placed on our individual hearts to remember. Those we now inwardly and silently cry out to you, seeking your relief and support on their behalf. Lord of all, we learned our church neighbor George Hubbard is undergoing testing for the possible return of cancer. Be gracious to him, Lord. He is a great neighbor and a friend of our church. We also lift up Marcia Kempton's mother, Betty Munson, who is in hospice care. We commend her to your care. Come also to the aid of Cassie Brogan, Keith Solga's daughter-in-law, in her great distress. This young mother has been through so much, and her kids, Belle and Sawyer, need their mother. Give strength to her husband, Jordan, as he carries their family in this fearful time of their family life. And new to our prayer list is Kathy Schreiber, friend of Curtis Coupler, also struggling with cancer. Grant to Kathy and all of us who live in this troubled world confidence that you will acknowledge us as your own when we come into your eternal presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. On this Memorial Day, we pray, O Lord, for those who courageously laid down their lives for the cause of freedom. May the examples of their sacrifice inspire in us the selfless love of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the families of our fallen troops and fill their homes and their lives with your strength and peace. O Lord, be also with those who are currently in uniform at home or abroad, not knowing the moment of deadly attacks, yet always prepared to serve in spite of the danger. Uphold them in the cause of peacekeeping and protecting the most vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God of all knowledge and wisdom, we lift up to you our high school graduates, Haley Bartimus, Savannah Boggs, Leah Geis, Ashton Gorney, and Simariah Longhorn. Unfortunately, this accomplishment will be remembered more for the coronavirus than the commencement ceremonies that released them to discover their calling in society. And while the spread of this virus has hampered the festivities that mark this rite of passage for these young ladies, help them to see the events of the day as their advantage when facing the struggles of this life. As St. Paul writes, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. O faithful God, let your Holy Spirit build in these young women of faith, perseverance, character, and hope as they take their next steps into the life of Christian maturity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise you, O God, for the announcement of a child conceived by your grace and coming to Nathan and Keaton Sheffelker. Watch over and protect this new mother during the time of incubation and development. And as you knit together the body, mind, and spirit of this precious child, grant your heavenly peace to this family as they patiently wait for the day of arrival and for the waters of baptism to cleanse and unite this child to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, our wonderful Creator, you scheduled a special day to bring us into the world. You have watched over our lives from the time we were born and continue to watch over us every day. Today we celebrate the birthdays of Noah Geis, Gary Williams, Travis Lindfett, John Williams, Haley Gefferth, Darla Kesting, Andy Brandmeier, Dave Reynolds, and Mary Geis, whom you have brought into our family of faith and fellowship, blessing us with their gifts and unique personalities. Continue to look upon them with your favor and love. And as they face a new year with new opportunities and challenges, enable them to grow in wisdom and favor with all people as they learn to trust in you with each passing day. Bless, guide, protect, and watch over them all their appointed days. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
This week we also celebrate with Jason and Carrie Boulanger, Greg and Ginger Kiefer, and Dave and Lorianne Reynolds, who give praise to you for another year of marital blessing. Increase their sense of companionship and friendship. Grant them the ability to laugh at their mistakes and the means to share the simple pleasures of life together. Surround them with good friends and neighbors. Protect their homes. Care for their families. Provide for their needs. Guard their health. And may they enjoy many future anniversaries together under your gracious care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, all these things we entrust into your loving and powerful hands. And now we bind all our petitions together with the prayer your dear Son taught and enables us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord smile upon you and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our closing, I wanted to use a video clip that we have seen before. I hope you enjoy it. It's the music in the background is from Samuel Barber's Agnus Dei, and it is one of the most important classical pieces of the 20th century. The words are taken from the Agnus Dei from the Latin Mass, and combined with Barber's soulful melodies, move the soul between deep sorrow for what sin has made of our world to heart-stirring hope that points us to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Listen carefully, and you will hear in Barber's melodies an intertwining of many voices crying for mercy, seeking peace. The Church believes that the Lamb of God is the ultimate hope for peace, if not in this life, certainly in the world to come. On this Sunday's observance of Memorial Day, please take the next 6 minutes to recall and honor the sacrifices of so many men and women of our military who followed the example of Jesus, who said, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for a friend."